Hello and welcome, friends, to the Spooky Chris Podcast. If this is your first time, thank you for coming. Welcome. My name is Chris Ringler. I am the aforementioned Spooky Chris. This is my wee little podcast. I am an author, podcaster, general ne'er-do-well, and reviewer. Reviews are getting a lot of run on my page, so I will keep the reviews coming. As we wind down September of 2024, I was thinking about how freaking awesome horror is. And I'll stick with specifically, you can kind of extrapolate this to the literature and other artistic forms, but I'm thinking specifically film. And this is, you know, a drum I've beat before. You've heard this before, especially fans of horror. You know, we are very self-congratulatory, as all fans are wont to be. We love to kind of point out our wins and our, like, how smart we are. Like, hey, look how smart I am. I'll say it. It's great. But in saying this, when you think of, I listened to the Kino Lorber podcast. Watched it, I guess. I listened because I was working. So listened. They have a new podcast, and I was listening to that. And there, some of the, what they discussed was, kind of behind the curtain kind of stuff, where they talk about, why wouldn't this movie get a release? Why does that movie get a release? This, that, and, you know, how does this movie do compared to that one? And a lot of it comes down to genre. And if there's anything, heaven knows if there's anything that has been proven out over the years, especially with home releases and that kind of stuff, fandom, horror fans show out. And to a lesser degree, sci-fi fans, because sci-fi fans are very rabid. I mean, and fantasy, people into fantasy. But the thing is that fantasy, since there's not as many movies, they're more into fantasy. Folks are more into books and LARPing and game, board games and video game stuff, because there's not as much, hasn't traditionally been as much content from Hollywood in the films. Lord of the Rings changed that a little. Those are expensive movies to make generally, to kind of create a whole different world. Whereas horror, you can kind of do on the cheap. Same thing with, when you get to comedies, you should be able to do on the cheap. An expensive comedy is just silly. Though they always are like, oh, we have this star that we have to have in it. We have to pay them, $30 million to be in a comedy, whatever. But no, the reason, so horror fans, my attack on this is multi-pronged, in declaring how great horror is, beyond my general fandom. Because when you look at it, you can look at any genre, and there, pound for pound, there's not a genre of film that can stand against horror in adapting to the time, speaking to the kind of taking the temperature of the room, as it were. Horror has always evolved and adapted, and that is something astounding, frankly. For a lot of dramas, we tend to look back. We don't look forward. If you look forward, you're a sci-fi movie. They don't allow dramas to really get so fanciful as to peer forward much. So you're stuck looking back, and then when you're looking back, you're generally looking back. I mean, just think about like period piece, British films or, American films. And it's always kind of like positing the past against the present, where it's like, oh, look, humans have always been terrible, or, the rich have always been terrible, and whatever. They use it as a mirror more than anything else. And horror does that. But, it's interesting. Horror is so adaptive. I have watched recently some of the new horror, and while I saw the TV Glow at all, and I didn't get into We're All Going to the Fair, something like that. I didn't like either one personally. They didn't speak to me. I absolutely can see where they would, aspects that would speak to people. But they're important movies, whether I like them or not, because they are new voices and they are new types of stories and they're new storytelling techniques. They're telling stories for people who haven't seen stories about them for a while. I mean, ever. The outsider cinema is what horror has always been about, which is funny because then you'll get the super fans that are like, you know, they only like gore movies or they only like this or that. And then there are the idiots who will be like, that movie's too woke. I don't like it because Freddy all of a sudden is talking about feelings and, you know, whatever. And it's laughable because it's one of those things like the call is coming from inside the house. Horror has always been what it is. It's outsider cinema. I mean, James Whale was a gay man making Frankenstein, A Bride of Frankenstein. He was using religious imagery in the background of Bride. He's doing all kinds of things. And this was, you know, the 30s. So it's not like this is a new record that we just started dancing to. This is old news. It's just as with a band like Rage Against the Machine, they're all well and good, and they're just a jamming band until you realize that they're against your politics, and then it's like, well, they suck and they're stupid. You know, it's always been there. What you're seeing has always been there. Maybe you changed. So I may not like, you know, I may not have gotten into, I saw the TV Glow. And we're all going to the fair, but I appreciate what they do. These are different types of horror movies and they're kind of like quote unquote horror. Horror is a big blanket that a lot of things fit under. So it's not like there's, you know, monsters and stuff, though. There's a character in, saw the TV Glow. It's pretty cringy, in a creepy way. But it's fascinating, and it's fascinating that we get these new voices, and it's great because it's not just the same people. Like when you look at an action, who do you hear about all the time? Michael Bay, you know, or you hear about these same kind of handful of people. And there's other people that make action movies, but there's not a lot of them that are name brand. That is a generally kind of gun for hire a lot of times, or it's proteges of someone. Comedies, it's the same thing. There's a handful of known comedic directors, and then the rest are just like, you know, Joe Schmo from Buffalo kind of thing. It's like you don't really know who they are. Dramas, you know, it's so a lot of these things, and you can say that with horror, but there's the legends, and then there's the kind of the modern legends. So, you know, you have John Carpenter, George Romero, and all of them. And then you have like a modern kind of James Wan, who's regarded very well because he's had a very good track record, and you know, has shown that he knows what he's doing. And then you kind of have people like Damien Leone, who's coming up and kind of has the zeitgeist at the moment and stuff, and you have a whole bunch of them. But horror really allows up-and-coming directors, new folks, to try new things and to take more risks, because horror, you can take these risks. You know, you don't get a lot of risky comedies aren't very common. You'll find them from time to time, for sure, but they don't take as many risks as a horror film. I mean, it is what it is. Again, like, to go back to I Saw TV Glow, it is a story about falling in love with kind of friendship and falling in love with a TV show that, you know, as you kind of get older, you realize wasn't as great, but also may have been more important to your life than you realized. And it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there and it's super interesting. You take a movie like Skinamarink, where it is I'm trying to think of the new pop term that we have for that kind of lo-fi or something like that, where it is very much, it is not about giant like set pieces and booming monstrous like, and it's slow burn and it is dawning realization. It is, you know, slowly realizing your pants is, you know, pants are on fire, as it's gotten to your hips, like, oh, that's not so good. And that's what's so great about it, is it can evolve that way, and it says so many things. I've always laughed at how petty people are about horror. And I get it, is that you look at movies like Terrifier 3, who are, it's very in your face. It is very loud. It is very gory. It's very, you know, and it's not out, so I haven't seen it. But I've seen the first two. We know the brand. Well, we can say Terrifier 2 if it makes someone like, what? Have you even seen Terrifier? Okay, fine. We can go Terrifier. The franchise. But it's very loud, in your face, gory, audacious. You know, but that's not every horror. Because then you can go all the way to the other, you know, The Changeling, the George C. Scott horror film. It's a ghost. It's a very low-key ghost story about loss and regret and remorse and the past, and it's scary, absolutely, and it has some great scares in it, but it is very contemplative and very, very, very kind of methodical and slow. It is not about giant jump scares and, like, you know, boogeymen. And that's why, and it's, and those are two movies, Terrifier 2, The Changeling, same genre. And again, you can look at, say, Life is Beautiful and Pride and Prejudice, or, you know, those are under the same umbrella, or I'm trying to think of a slapstick, like a Meatballs, which I love, with any of Woody Allen's classic comedies. Like, these are very big umbrellas that, you know, each genre has, it's a very big umbrella. You can fit a lot of things under, a lot of chairs. But horror is so fascinating because, and it's great because, you know, people into horror are just kind of down for horror. They're just like, you know, there's people that, like, there's stuff I don't have an interest in. There's stuff, everybody's like that. And it's good to know that. It's fine. I'd rather not waste my time and go into a movie with a bad attitude and just no interest, and it's like, when I know I'm not interested in it. And I get it. If it's such a movie that someone's like, no, you have to see it, it's not what you think, blah, blah. And I've seen those kind of movies. And it's like, okay, all right. I'm wrong. I was wrong. It's funny. Back in the, when I was, you know, much younger, big fan of Alice in Chains, and the self-titled album came out, and it was after Dirt had come out and stuff. And I was just like, oh yeah, no. Like, the drum beats are kind of lame. I'm not into this. This is terrible. The band Pronged had the same thing happen with an album. And I was like, I'm going to try it again. And I kept kind of going back to it and getting into it. I'm like, okay, I get what they're doing now. It's the same, but different. It's a different sound. The message is the same. It's, you know, they're trying to do the same thing. So it's sometimes that's what you have to do is, you know, some things, not everything is going to appeal to you, but sometimes you just need to kind of take a breath, open your mind, and see what you see. And that is the fun of this kind of exploration and stuff. And horror is so fun to me because it does take these chances, and they don't need to be huge, extravagant affairs. It's fun when you get a big budget horror movie because, I mean, you know, but then you'll find out how big the budget was, and you're just like, oh, that wasn't that big at all. The problem that we have right now with horror is that without brick and mortar reliable video stores, there are so many movies that are going to be lost, and not necessarily literally, but there's a day where it will be literally, you know, movies like Night of the Living Dead are cultural classics. And there's, you know, and there's movies like Prowler where it's beloved, but like history's not going to mourn it per se. If an 80s kind of lower level slasher movie disappears, even, you know, even go lower than that for slasher movies like Three on a Meat Hook, or, you know, that kind of a thing, you know, those kind of movies where people aren't necessarily, but the fans will. But yeah, I watched the movie The Watchers today, and it's a lovely movie. It's not amazing, but it's pretty good. And it was streaming, so I watched it. But, you know, I think about it, it's like, it's not a movie I would probably, it's like if I was, you know, had money falling out of my ears, I'd probably buy it because it's fun. I'd give it another watch. But since I don't have that as a fact, I, you know, don't know that I would ever revisit it again. So saying that, like, there's a point where it will be pulled from streaming. So where's it going to end up? Sure, it could be licensed from time to time and show up on Max or Hulu or Netflix someday or whatever streamer is around. But that's assuming that it will. Now it's in a, you know, it'll be in a big catalog, and you know, these streamers will essentially rent out or lease catalog titles for a while. It's like, okay, we want 100 titles, and maybe they'll pick, you know, we want 50 horror, we want 20 of this, we want 30 of this, you know, whatever. However they choose those. But, and this is, I mean, so part of this is a reflection on the movie The Watchers, in that I don't know if it's so good that there's a ton of people that are going to rush out, kind of like Underwater, which I really, really like, and I do have. But, you know, these movies that aren't going to blow your socks off. But when it's day and the sun is gone, I don't know that people see it anymore. I'm trying to think of Last Exorcism movies. The first one's great. The second one's pretty good. I'm sure they have streamed, but they are not regularly streaming. Same thing, you know, with a lot of these horrors. I mean, some of them will show up on Shudder from time to time, and I don't have Shudder at the moment, so I may be speaking out of my elbow. Like, these could all be on there. But, you know, the first one is very well regarded and did very well. I mean, obviously they made a sequel. But, like, is the sequel going to turn up a whole lot? Like, the first one may, but is the sequel going to pop up on cable? A whole lot, or streamers a whole lot. And while video stores kind of, you know, again, we evolved past them, but that was the great thing about video stores is you would go in and you would find these, like, oh my God, I never knew they made a sequel to this. Or you're browsing shelves and you're like, oh, that looks interesting. And you'd end up watching stuff that you might never watch before. And, you know, you saw a lot of trash. But you see interesting things like The Boy 2. Boy was, you know, very, again, very well regarded, very fun movie. The Boy 2, not as great, but still fun, and it went in a different direction. And I love the heck out of the fact that it went in a different direction. I think that's great. I kind of like the second Sinister movie for the same reason. And that's, it's kind of, it's the same, but it kind of took things in a little different direction. And I love that. I love when franchises will do that. That's why I love Friday the 13th Part 5 so much, is that that's some guts to say, oh no, we're going to make a whodunit and Jason didn't do it. Like, that's great. Like, that's just fascinating. And it's a sleazy movie, but it's a fascinating riff on it. You know, same thing with Friday 7. Even Friday, he goes, Jason X, when he goes to space, just like they did weird stuff. And again, there's a point where you have to, or it's just going to be the same thing over and over again. But I appreciate that they kind of took a little bit of a risk. Sometimes these work and sometimes they don't. But without, like I say, without streaming, there's a lot of stuff we're going to lose. Or not without, without video stores. And there's just, streamers are so, there was a point, see, it's funny because I remember, and you know, 10 years ago, maybe a few more years, it's been a minute, but we had streaming Netflix, and I remember watching a movie called Torture Vomit Dolls on it, and I fast forwarded through it. I was curious. There's that, and there's all Scream Queens Must Die, and it was by Billy Zabubba, or like this low tier Z-grade director that makes lots of horror gore sleaze, like very frankly kind of misogynistic sleaze, and there is a market for it, and there is an interest, and they were on Netflix for a hot minute, much like, I mean, and I'm curious now, on Prime, Amazon Prime, I remember seeing like Blood on the Blacktop and another one, like these 50s 60s movies, like kind of like safe driving warning movies, and they were essentially like kind of like Faces of Death gory. I literally had to stop watching the one because I was like, no, I don't want to see people that have been burned to death in a car accident. Like, I'm good. Like, I did not know what this was. I was like, this is a little bit much for me. And but yeah, it's like that was the two Torture Vomit Dolls and All Scream Queens Must Die were on Netflix streaming. That would never happen now. Netflix is a respectable business now, so they'd never do such a thing. You know, and it's not the Wild West. They can pick and choose. They can kind of choose what they want. And what they want to focus on, and they can kind of go with more prestige stuff. So a lot of this lower tier stuff, and there's fans for everything, and you know what? It's awesome. Unless the stuff's illegal, let there be fans. If there's fans for that, like, gnarly stuff, hey, man, if nobody's actually getting hurt, cool, go do it. I know lots of independent film directors that do kooky stuff that is out of the mainstream and that a lot of people would raise their eyebrows at or just like, ugh. But it doesn't make it bad, and it doesn't make it invalid. I write stuff that most people aren't going to have an interest in, but that doesn't mean that there's not someone out there that's going to be like, oh, it's pretty cool. And there's room for all of it, and there should be. But the crummy thing is that because everything is moving to streaming, you either have to physically pick up these things, which there's so much stuff that's, again, it's kind of wishy-washy. You're like, or you have to take a chance on, or you have to hope it hits a streamer. In 3 years, is Watchers going to be streaming? I don't know. I don't know that for sure, especially because we don't know how streamers are evolving in weird ways. Like, it's funny, I was talking to a friend. It's funny to me that when you look at the classic era of, you know, network television and stuff, they did movies of the weeks. They did movies all the time. They did miniseries. I don't know why streamers can't pick, like, don't pick out the good things that worked for network TV and are like, nope, we're going to reinvent everything. Like, we're going to release our movies all in one, or all our shows all in one day, so that Stranger Things comes out today and everybody's already finished it. Stranger Things is gone forever, and people finished it in 8 hours. Like, there's, it's kind of like going and just like eating, like gorging yourself at a buffet, and then like, what's that taste? Was it good? I don't know. You know, there's something, it's fun, you know, binging is fun, but there's something to be said for enjoying the meal, as it were. But streamers don't need to make, and God, you see this so often, like, oh, hey, let's make a $300 million action movie for Netflix. Like, no, man, no. Like, treat it like these lower tier movies that are just whatever movies that are lower budget. You can bring in younger directors, you can bring in new actors, and then you have your prestige stuff that you're like, we're gonna spend some money. You can do miniseries, like, you can do all of the stuff that's been done classically and back in the day and was effective. And it's weird that they don't. They'd rather just like, oh, we're gonna have these two giant movies, like this, the Rebel Moon movies. We're going to spend a ton of money and we're going to put them out. And then as soon as they come out, we're going to like, oh, by the way, these are the cut versions. We're going to release the full versions later. Like, in their thought, they're like, oh, wait, we're going to be printing money back and forth. It's like, no, man, no, you just make people annoyed because they're like, do I want to waste my time with the first watch or do I wait? And that's like, by the time you're waiting for them to come out for the whole version, it's like, do I care anymore? I don't know. Like, I'm kind of over it. Cause then you'll have people that did watch the first versions and they're like, oh, they're stupid. But that's not necessarily the case because, I mean, Kingdom of Heaven, the movie came out, Ridley Scott. It's a decent movie. And then you see the director's cut and it's like, oh, God, this is genius. This is amazing stuff. So you'd want to put your best foot forward. Like, if you're going to do something like that, like, release the two versions at the same time. Like, hey, here's a PG-13 one for, like, the family, quote unquote. And then here's the R-rated one for, like, the adults in the room, or, you know, stagger them so they're close enough apart that you kind of you have a choice instead of kind of, I don't know, just their strategy on that was whole crazy. But it's scary and sad, though, because there's a lot of it. That's why, you know, so many people really love physical media. Why I feel like physical media is that it does preserve all of this stuff, you know, for the fans and everything. And yeah, it takes up space and this and that, but that's why you like records. That's why you like CDs. You like a physical accounting of this. And it's scary to think that if you lose that file, it's gone. If you have, like, I've bought a couple movies for the kid through Prime. Well, if I ever cancel Prime, those movies are gone. or if Prime someday just whatever, something happens and they lose the license or, you know, something that can happen, like where, well, sorry, that was, you didn't really own that, you licensed it, kind of a thing. So ownership means something, and it is preserving the past is kind of part of that. I mean, there's a reason why there are still kind of pirate sites out there, kind of underground pirate sites. It's, yeah, there's always people that are like, I just want to rip off movies because I'm not going to spend money because they don't deserve my money, kind of this, that kind of nonsense. But a lot of it is stuff that's just not around. You can't find. Like, there's so much stuff in the Disney vault, it's crazy. And they've pulled a Prince, and they're like, it just stays in the vaults. Like, that's just where it lives. It's like, and it's like, dude, you know, and there's stuff that's, you know, has aged poorly. And I am a fan of Song of the South because I grew up with it. And I completely understand and admit it is problematic. But to just sweep it under the rug and act like it never happened when it's, like, instead of having a conversation or putting it into context or anything, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy that that's what we do. That's what we do with our history now is, you know, they remove guns from the movies, they remove the cigarettes, they move this and that. And like they act ashamed of this stuff. It's like, no, man, this is the way it was. I get it. If it's, there's certain things that you're like, oh, but I mean, you know, back of the D.W. Griffith movies, which were very racist, like they still have a place because it was like that epic filmmaking and stuff. It has a place. It needs to be seen. It just needs to also have context. Like, well, we don't think the Klan is great. Like, just so you know, back then, I guess it was a different time. And just erasing history like that. And it's sad because we are going to see a lot of history lost with music and, you know, as... So someday if somebody screws the pooch on Spotify and Spotify's gone, then, you know, where's the next streamer? And it's, you know, it's like it's all of this stuff is so ephemeral and it's scary. So on one hand, it's great that there's so many new voices, so many exciting voices, so many things being said and shown that weren't being done before, like the LGBTQ plus IA folks deserve a place at the table. They deserve a voice. They deserve to see themselves on the screen. You know, everybody deserves to kind of see themselves in this stuff because it speaks to everyone. And it shouldn't just be any kind of genre, but like specifically, you know, because genre has embraced the outsider so long. And if we're going to treat people like outsiders, then they deserve a place, you know, beneath the tent. But yet you get worried that we're going to lose this stuff in 5 or 10 years where it'll be, you know, again, and I picked Watchers not to pick on the movie because I enjoyed it. But as a modern movie that did okay, but that's not like a modern classic, it's not trash and it's not a modern classic. So then what? You know, the Terrifier movies will have, you know, if nothing else, a legendary status in a few years where people are like, oh, man, did you see those? I saw, it was great. You know, like when I was a kid, you heard about Cannibal. Well, first you hear about Dawn of the Dead, but then like Cannibal Holocaust. So like movies where you kind of had to see as a dare, kind of like, oh, my gosh, have you seen that stuff? And we get excited, like, oh, well, kids aren't going to be scared by the same stuff and this and that. It's like, of course not. You know, like every fear changes. Horror changes and needs to change, but that doesn't mean they can't appreciate it. Like, you know, in 15 years, our kids going to look at Babadook and go like, oh, that's scary. Even today, like a lot of people are like, that's so stupid. It's funny. I worked with these kids, these guys, idiots, at a mall. And you know, it was after I'd seen Blair Witch and I was just proselytizing about Blair Witch. I was like, oh, it was stupid. I was like, what's your favorite horror movie? Nightmare on Elm Street. And I'm like, okay, cool. Which one? Like, because here's the thing. First one's great. Second one's interesting. Third one's great. Fourth one's okay. Fifth one's bad. Like, Freddy's dad's bad. Like, so it's just, I don't know. I'm like, And it's just, it's too easy to say a major classic to me. It's like, of course, you can love Frankenstein. Of course you can. But like, dig a little deeper. Go a little off the beaten path and just kind of find something different that like, oh no, this is what you should see. Cause that's more fun to me is this the the stuff that people haven't seen that it's like, oh no, you really need to see this. This is great. Like Mungo had become that for me for a while. It's just like, hey, oh man, no, you need to see it. It's really, really good. So I hope, that we don't lose this stuff, that, you know, streamers kind of get their heads out of their rumpuses, and maybe over the air places, you know, because it's funny too, because you'll see a lot of horror during this time of year. Like they have the 28 days, 31 days, whatever amount of days of horror movies. But it's like, again, they're getting cataloged. So it's the same 20 movies. Like, hey, do you want to watch Halloween 4, 5, and 6 17 times in the month of October? Hooray. You know, it's that kind of stuff. Like, do you want to see Friday 13th? 2, 3, and 4, or, you know, 4, 5, and 6, or, you know, it's weird, because, like, and once in a while you'll see, like, oh, hey, we have the first 4 Halloween, or Friday 13th, or, you know, you'll see, like, a bundle like that at least makes sense, like, okay, we're getting at least the first movie, but, like, a lot of them, it's just random, it's stuff, and it's kind of willy-nilly, and, you know, it's just a drag. It's a drag that we've come to this. You know, not that TV in the back of the day was the best, because you're getting heavily edited versions. That's how I saw Halloween 2 was an over-the-air broadcast, which is funny because it has, like, a different ending. Like, there's two big scenes that are vastly different in it, and it changes the movie. It's like, oh, huh. But at least you could see it and kind of, if you fell in love with it, you're like, oh, well, I need to track that down. And you're not even getting that opportunity in a lot of cases, so... I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm excited for, you know, in many ways, the future of horror, because there's so many young voices out there and they're getting support. And I love that horror. That's why I love found footage movies. It doesn't take a big budget. It takes big imagination, solid writing. You need, you know, generally need good actors. And you don't need a lot of sets. Like, you can do these things on lower budgets. And the fans will still, you know, you can still low budget stuff. Fans will still come for it because they're just looking for something fun. Like, that's the thing is horror movies generally, like, that's what people want out of a lot of them is fun. And like, and if it, you know, it's like, oh, cool. Like, okay, I dig this. And that's what we're looking for. So that's, I'll keep beating the drum as I want to do. And friend, I will still be here rocking and rolling. I will talk to you soon. If you want to track down all of my podcasts, my links to my many, many books, my blogs, my reviews, you can go to spookychris.com. I'll talk to you soon, Space Ranger.